I don't know how you felt about Absalom so far. Probably not so good because you know the denouement. You know how this little drama plays out. At the beginning, he had a sister. She was fair. And he had a brother who was a scoundrel who raped his sister. And he waited 2 years for dad to make a move. Dad didn't. Is that a punishable offense by death? Yes, it is. So he said, okay, dad's the one who's supposed to be doing something here. You know, after you have a big moral compromise, it's very hard to take the moral high ground. We get like boys and girls living together, sometimes even Christians. And then, you know, after they marry, and at some point he'll say, like, you know, I'm supposed to be leading my family in the things of God. And she'll not come right in line with that. And you think, well, what's wrong? Well, when you were sleeping with me, you didn't care about God's will then, did you? That's the problem. So it's hard after you've had a moral compromise to promote godliness. But you have to as parents, and even as grandparents, you know. And of course, that makes us, it doesn't disqualify us. Let's say I use drugs. And by the way, I got my own stuff. Drugs was never on the, just wasn't one of them. But I say, one of my kids starts popping pills or smoking marijuana, something like this. And but I can't say something because when I was in high school, I smoked marijuana, right? No, that's your time to say, listen, son, this is a really, really bad choice. You're addling what few brain cells you have. I did that, and it worked out disastrous. It was against the law. It didn't further my cause. I lost a lot of money, and you. It's not a place like, and you can say, when you've had a moral failure, it's not like, oh, you hypocrite, it was okay with you. You say, no, it wasn't okay with me, and it's not okay with you. Well, David doesn't really get that, so he's kind of paralyzed. He feels like he can't say anything to Adonijah about Tamar, because guess what? Him and Bathsheba. Now he can't say anything to Absalom about Adonijah. Guess what? Him and Uriah the Hittite. You see what I'm saying? No, when you've had a moral failure, come to repentance as soon as possible and then go on with your life. And it does not mean you're a hypocrite for the rest of your days. It certainly just doesn't. So he takes things in his own hand, kills Adonijah, and then he flees, and then there's that whole fiasco where Joab gets the wise woman of Tekoa, I think it is, and go tell him this and tell him this. So he restores Absalom, but Absalom won't see him. He won't see Absalom until he finally burns down Joab's fields. And Joab's like, you know, what's your problem, dude? He goes, I kept calling you. It was just a busy signal. I don't know what, but can you hear me now? Go to the king and say, hey, why'd you bring me back if I can't see your face? What he wanted was a public, you know, reunification. So he has the king's imprimatur for this part now. Now we're going to find out he's a scoundrel. Before he was, we didn't really know, but now we know. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Chariots obviously weren't for speed of 50 people running ahead of him. It's all show. It's all glam. It's all like self-gloss. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called on him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. So he's making small talk. Okay, you got to remember, he's handsome. From the top of his head to the sole of his feet, there's no blemish in him. He is way, way good looking. And he's charming. Little snot. Oh, hey, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Bethel. Oh, Bethel, I know it well. Oh, yeah, that's really nice. So how's the weather up there in Bethel this time of year? And he's small talk, and he's, like I say, he's There's a thing called a halo effect. If you know it or not. Pretty people, we like them. We like them in our lives. We believe what they say. It's called a halo effect. They're good looking. They must stand for good things. Here's our boy Absalom. And Absalom said to him, see, thy matters are good and right. So they're going to the king for a judgment, because that was still done. He was the intendant of the time of Moses. He appointed the 70s. Okay, you hear this stuff and this stuff, this stuff. The things you can't handle. Remember Jethro, his father-in-law said, you're gonna burn yourself out. You can't do this all day long every day. You know, point people who can take care of the small stuff and the stuff that's like really, really important. Take care of that. Well, it's still that government in kind of, you know, I couldn't get satisfaction from the judges about whose ox was gored and who whatever. So they'd come to the king with their petition. Absalom said to him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Now, why I think he's a scoundrel, this smacks to me of Satan. Yeah. Hey, look, what silly little thing, what do you need, a job or something? You think the sovereign of the universe, he's running the whole universe, you think he's got time for you, and you're silly, oh, but you come onto my team, you see if you don't get what you want. This is just, hey, the king ain't got any time for you. Who says that? Well, Satan says that. But guess what? I'm gonna fill your petition. What do you need that right now? He knows how in the short term to, I will say bless, that's the wrong word, but give you what you want. Oh, it comes with a big price tag. People have made deals with the devil before. I can mention singers and stuff who have confessed to as much. We won't go there. It was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Oh, no, 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 you don't have to bow down to me. This is the heir apparent. This is the prince. This is the next in line for the king, the throne. Oh, no, 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 you don't have to bow down to me. I'm just, it'd scoop him right up, you know. I'm just like you. I put on my sandals one at a time, just like everyone else does. And you know, I'm no different from you. Oh, we've heard it all before. Oh, he wants people to do him obeisance. He can, so much he can taste it. But I'll put that off till later. Let me work my little. Satan wants your worship. He wanted Jesus worship. He wants worship so bad, but he'll defer to later. Well, that'll come later on once you, you know, bite into the what he's selling. That's going to be part of the deal later on. This guy, he's absolutely satanic. He also reminds me of the Antichrist. Charming, handsome, can speak well. I don't think when the Antichrist shows up, one, I don't think we'll be here. Two, he's not going to be like someone like who's loathsome. He will be loathsome in heaven among the church, but the church ain't going to be here. He'll be winsome and good-looking and verbose and charming and all the things that are good things that we don't want to see the wrong people have. And he'll definitely be the wrong people. He put forth his hand, took him and kissed him. In a culture that does that, by the way. Okay? It's not any weird thing. And this man did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. That was the plan. It came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said, now some say it's a typo, Some say it's after 4 years. He'd been doing this for 4 years. Or some say, well, it's 40 years, but 40 years from when? And it's not exact. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, I don't. Some say 40 years of David's reign. No, no, no. I don't know what 40 years, okay? Absalom's not doing this for 40 years. I'll tell you that much. Maybe it's 4 years. I don't know. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow, which I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. So he's talking the religious talk. David would like that. He would like that, Absalom getting his heart right before God. Of course, he'd say, yeah, of course, of course. King said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron, where David started out. Do you remember? It's the place of fellowship. It's the place of communion. Now, he's dark, and it's probably the place that Absalom was born. It was the place that Absalom was born, I should say. And so he's going back to his roots. It's kind of like, hey, this is where David started out. He's kind of following in his, but he's usurper. He's after the throne. Now, if he was just patient, one, he wouldn't end up dead, and he would have the king's imprimatur. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity. They didn't know what they were going, getting themselves involved with, right? And they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counsel from his city, even from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Who is Ahithophel the Gilonite? He's the father of one of David's mighty men. He's the grandfather of one young girl called Bathsheba. Did David ever go to Ahithophel and said, dude, I can't tell. I messed up so bad. Did he make overtures? And Ahithophel said, pass, save it, not interested. See, this is the problem with bitterness. Everyone here who's ever entertained bitterness or is entertaining bitterness will tell me, well, I have a right. Who has a right more than Ahithophel? But bitterness isn't a question of right. If I have a right to be bitter, it's still going to eat our lunch. It's a cancer. We have to pull it up by the roots. We have to destroy every vestige of it. You got to forgive whether people are asking for forgiveness or not. You have to forgive from your heart as best as you can. And I'll say this again, and I've said this a lot. It is both a crisis and a process. There's a part where you say, I forgive. I just forgive. Don't give me this. Well, if they come crawling in here on their hands, you didn't crawl in on your hands and knees when you were forgiven. We have been forgiven. We have no right to hold anything against anyone else, even when we're correct. I know you're correct. You don't have to convince me. I believe you. You don't have to make your case. I absolutely believe you. Ahithophel, does he have an axe to grind? Yes. Did David ever go to him and say, I don't even know where to begin. I really messed up. I don't know that. We're not told that. But I'm telling you, he's a bitter man. And we know he's going to end up on the end of a rope. I can just tell you the end from the beginning. It will eat you up, and then it will leave you hanging, pun intended. Bitterness is, listen, love you. I do. You're not strong enough. You are not strong enough to live with bitterness. I don't care how mighty you are. You can't do it. So here's Ahithophel. He's the granddaughter of Bathsheba. So his granddaughter's husband was killed. granddaughter, ostensibly someone he loved. And the whole thing is just, and he's a wise, wise counselor. And they're more worried about Ahithophel going over to Absalom than they're worried about Absalom. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, let us flee. We shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." Who's right and who's wrong? David's right. He's the anointed king. Who's Absalom? He's a snot nose. He's a punk. He's a usurper. He's wrong. So David flees. Well, he's still got his mighty men. What's he worried about? He doesn't want to bring Jerusalem into this fight. Also, he has to swallow his pride. And by the way, if you're one of these people who it's always about right and wrong, I can't tell you that it's all right to be wrong, but sometimes it's not a question. I'm right on this. I'm telling you I'm right on this, and I got to make my point, and it's, I don't care if it dissolves our marriage or our friendship or I get to still be pastor here, but I'm right on this. Sometimes there's more important things than right or wrong. David sees this. He's right. But Jerusalem's not going to be the battleground here. He leaves. David said to all his servants that were with him, and by the way, this is a real blow to the pride. Ego, men's ego, which is by the most fragile thing in about the universe, it's really hard to come to grips with. And by the way, doesn't this hurt? Your son, your own son? Because I can imagine one of my sons. All right. I've told you before, I get Cain and Abel for children. And you met Abel. He's a good guy, and everyone loves him. Some of them think I really have kids named Cain and Abel. I have a son who's walking with the Lord, serves the Lord. He's a great guy. And I have a son who's, well, not so much, okay? But neither one of them are stabbing me in the back and trying to kill me and try to take what little I possess and try, you know what I mean? That would hurt so, so, so bad, wouldn't it? I mean, you don't even have to be a parent to figure that out. Your own flesh and blood conspiring to take your crown, take your life. "Let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And that's what he's concerned about, his beloved Jerusalem. "And the king's servants said to the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." We're going to meet all this cast of characters. I love this whole section here. "And the king went forth and all his household after him. The king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house." Now that tells us a lot. He's got, I think he was like up to 11 wives last time. Or it was 11 kids. I can't remember. Now he's got 10 concubines. That's been one of the problems right along, okay? But why did he leave them behind? To keep the house. And they're not gonna fare very well. Just let me say that. I think that this is a mistake on his part. "And the king went forth, all the people after him." And by the way, isn't it refreshing in this? He's a hero. David's a hero, a Bible hero. But the Bible doesn't gloss over its heroes' mistakes. You know, and I like that. You know, there's only a few people in the whole Bible that whose sin isn't talked about. And David's not one of them. And don't get me wrong, all the others are sinners, but they just never sinned in such and such a way that God said, oh, yeah, this is what you got to know about. Listen, Jesus is what? Lion of the tribe of what? Judah, good guy or bad guy? don't ask me that. Don't point that question at me. It might go off. He's a good guy-ish, except with that thing with his daughter-in-law. You remember that whole fiasco. But the Bible talks about that. And by the way, that nefarious activity that he carried on with his daughter-in-law, that's the royal line. Jesus will come out of that fiasco, sin. Let's call it for what it is, that sin. And I like the fact that the Bible is doesn't gloss over the failings of its heroes. The king went forth, verse 17, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off, and all his servants passed on beside him. All the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. We know the Cherethites and the Pelethites, they're kind of like the special forces, Delta Force. There is like his guard, his imperial guard. All the Gittites. What's a Gittite? 600 men which came from Gath. That's Philistine country. David's recruiting them from all over. Is there a recruitment center in there? No. They've seen it and they said, yeah, past Philistines, I want to go follow that guy. Think about it. Again, not a perfect man, but a man after God's own heart. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, okay, he's one of the Gittites that came. Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou after, also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Well, whereas thou camest but yesterday, was it actually yesterday or was it just a short time? I'm not sure. Let's just take it face value. Say it's yesterday. You showed up yesterday. Now you're going to be on the lam with us today. I mean, that's crazy. That's great, great stuff, right? Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. Listen, go with God's blessing. This isn't your fight. I see you just showed up and this is when you asked. You weren't asking for this. I get that. So you go and I'm not holding it against you. You go back to your place and that's a reasonable thing David's saying. Ittai is not reasonable at all. I love this man. Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, he puts himself under an oath, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. It almost sounds like Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou diest, I will die. And thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people. It's almost the same thing. He's saying, hey, I've cast in my lot with you. I don't care where it ends up. I'm on the right team. I'm where God told me to be. So, think about someone gets saved yesterday. Well, now in America, it's against the law to be a Christian. Well, it's not, but I mean, it was headed that way. There was a trajectory. I think we got a few year reprieve here. Will it end up that way? I think so. I mean, I peeked at the end of the book. I don't know if I told you this or not. We're headed for perilous times worldwide, not just in America. And it's perilous times in a lot of places. So a guy gets saved yesterday, and now it's against the law to be a Christian. Oh, I'm not a Christian. No, not me. Oh, no. And start backpedaling. He doesn't turn his back on David. Don't turn your back on the son of David. I don't care if he just showed up yesterday. Ittai, he's got it right. I think he's like an honored man in heaven. I think he's on the right team. As the Lord liveth, as my Lord the King, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life. I'm in it, in for a penny, in for a pound. I'm not no halfway guy. Oh, listen, I went to all God's people were in all the way. In, just jump in head first, over your head, deep end, just go for it. All or nothing, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. David said to Ittai, that's what I'd say, go and pass over. Okay, dude. That's go and pass over is ancient Israel way of saying, okay, dude, whatevs. Whatever you think is right, right? Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. All the little ones that were with him. Not only am I in this, my family's in this as well. We may all be killed by Absalom, but I'd rather die with you than live with him. That's the choice you got to make. That's all there is to it. All the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Passed over the brook Kidron. Interesting. Son of David would pass over the brook Kidron too. Place called Gethsemane. Weeping. The whole thing. Is this acting out that? There's dots that can be connected. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him. Zadok is, okay, there's two priests now that are with David. Abiathar and Zadok. The worthy one is Zadok. Abiathar at this point is still a good guy, okay? He hasn't cast in his lot with a bad guy yet, but I'm just telling you, he's gonna. But Zadok is a good guy. Lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, I love this whole, I guess all these players and all these little exchanges and all, and we can learn something from each and every one of them. The king said unto Zadok, carry back the Ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Are you there? I mean, this is what was to take away. Are you there? I'm in your hand, Lord, for better or for worse, whatever you want. You're God, you get to call the shots. Oh, I could fight it. I could hold my breath and stamp my feet and still at the end of the day you win. Or I just resign to, Lord, you're good. Your mercy endures forever. You love me. Do what you will. After the son of David went over the brook Kidron, didn't he come to that place? Lord, not your will, but mine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Isn't David saying the same thing? Hey, bring back that. It's not mine. I didn't make that, and I don't own that. You bring that back to Jerusalem, and if God's pleased with me, I'll be back there. I'll see it again. And if he's not, whatever you got, Lord. If you want this little punk to rule and reign, does Israel deserve that? Do we deserve the last 4 years? The answer to the latter question is, yeah, we deserve that and worse. Did we deserve 4 years of more 4 years of craziness? Yeah, we did. Before the election, I talked to, people would ask me what I thought, and, like they do, and I thought the election was going to be stolen. I thought that President-elect Trump had enough votes to win it, and I thought it was going to be stolen. And I thought, we were going to get 4 years of bad karma, bad mojo, and I can't say to God, honestly, I mean, pray for this country all the time, but I can't say, oh, Lord, your innocent people are chafing under this unrighteous rule. What innocent people? What, what godly, good, righteous, moral people we are? We don't deserve this. No, we deserve it. I think Israel at this time kind of deserves Absalom, but that's just my way of looking at it. No, if God's good with me, he'll bring me back. And if he's not, oh well. If he says, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Oh man, there's so much stuff. Be Ittai. Be David in resignation towards God. Remember this. David, again, he has the Torah. Right? He has 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Definitely 2 Samuel hasn't been written yet. And 1 Samuel, he's living it. He's not a few psalms. He doesn't have all the things that he doesn't know about the Lord to the degree we know about. He's never read Ephesians. Now you have. And see how far ahead we are in our theology, having read Ephesians, but let's keep moving. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art thou not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. I say it different every time. Okay, they have these two sons, Ahimaaz and Jonathan. Those are the sons of Zadok and Abiathar, respectively. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me, Zadok there and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem, and they tarried there. This is the head. This is where David starts the Mossad. Okay, this is their S2 in there. Hey, I want you to go in there. I want you to spy out stuff and send your sons out when they get some word of what's going on, so I'll know what to do. It's all cloak and dagger, and it's good. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet, Mount of Olives, across Kedron, and wept as he went up. Okay, that we can connect some dots there. Had his head covered, and he went barefoot, both signs of repentance and humility. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh, Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He's really more nerved up, I think, about Ahithophel being with Absalom than Absalom calling the shots by himself. We'll see that too. Turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. The counsel is his advice. And by the way, God answers that prayer. Came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God. Need I say more? This is the darkest day of his life. This is worse than when Nathan came in and said, hey, you're the guy. This is the darkest day of his life. Now, you've had a bad shake and things are not working out to further your cause. Well, okay, God, if you're going to treat me like this, hey, God, hello, I'm Pastor Adam, Calvary Chapel, I'm your guy, I'm the guy who teaches everybody, and you're going to treat me like this, okay? All right, I remember that. Doesn't it look good for your reputation, you treat me so shabby? And I get to sin, I get to rebel. I mean, come on, right? No matter what happens, come what may, God is worthy of our worship. Sometimes he's done us so good, and we're walking on clouds and everything's going our direction, and we praise him and thank him and love him. And sometimes things are very, very hard and very, very difficult. What happens? We praise him and we love him. And sometimes things are the darkest day of our life. God didn't say, Absalom, go kill your dad. And it's a dark day, but here's the thing, and this again, somebody who loves you is telling you this. When things go bad, and they will, they have, they are, or they will, we get that. God's still God. We still owe him our loyalty. And when we turn our back on God, now see, I lost my job. I got fired today, and I lost my job. Let's just say, by the way, when I'm retiring in a couple of months, if I got fired today, it's like, yeah, don't threaten me with a good time. But let's just say I got fired and I'm really bummed out about it. Just, oh, it's so terrible, so crushing, I got fired today. Now, if I curse God and say, thanks, look at you let me get fired, and shaking my fist at God, now I got two problems. I got no job and I got no God. Well, he's still with me even when I turn my back on him. But I haven't fixed the problem, I've compounded it. Now, I understand when you're bugged at God because something happened and it was dreadful. I get that. And I always think, like, you can blow off steam at him. You can tell him you're disappointed and how hot, sick you are and everything else. He's got broad shoulders. He can take it. Don't turn your back on him. Just be honest. I think that's, you know, that's fine. Dave went up to the Ascent of Mount Olive, wept as he went, and he had his head covered, and he went barefoot. David was come to the top of the mountain. I'm in verse 32, where he worshiped God. Behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. The guy's like 105 million years old, right? But if thou shalt return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant. Hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. This is his title, is David's friend. And it's kind of more of a, it's not an honorary title. It's kind of like a friend, an intimate, close associate who, you know, probably David brought him in after the whole Bathsheba thing. Don't let that ever happen again. Dude, watch out for me. I'm poisoned. I got a desperately sick, wicked, deceitful heart like everybody else. Guess what? And I need some accountability. And that's the problem when you're the king, right? I mean, it really is. So he's saying, Ahithophel's going to tell him the next thing to do, and you got to be there to tell him that ain't such a good idea. By the way, I think we're going to have to do that next week. This is kind of slow going on purpose, because I think there's a lot here, and I think it's a lot of stuff, and I don't want to quickly, go right over it. So whatever Ahithophel says, I want you to undermine him. And thou hast thou not there with Zadok and Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Jonathan's son, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye shall hear. Again, he's getting his spies in place, right? So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Now, I really want to go on with this. I really want to do chapter 16, but I don't want to rush through it, and we can save that for next time. But it's kind of like almost a cliffhanger, isn't it? Okay, continued next week. And more than that, because the battle isn't really in chapter 17, and I 18. So there's a lot here, and Absalom's rebellion is a significant thing. You know, it's funny to me. We'll end here, but it's funny to me. David had 600 men. Then it was more. They kept coming to him when he was in the wilderness. They could have made some noise. They could have went up to Jerusalem or Hebron or said, okay, a new sheriff in town. He's the anointed king. He said, no, that's not the way kings reign. When God puts down one, puts up another, we'll let God sort this all out. And you think what goes around comes around. Absalom should have said, no, we don't lay a hand against the Lord's anointed. I'm not anointed to do nothing. But David, although he did the right thing wasn't done to him. Doesn't that get you upset? You're the kindest gentleman. You never talk about anybody. You don't gossip. You don't sit there bad-mouthing people. As soon as they walk out the door, you tell everyone what a horrible human being they are. And people gossip about you all the time. That should not be. It should be like, you're nice, so people should be nice to you. It doesn't work that way, does it? Sometimes it does. But you can be is kind and considerate and gentle and sweet and have people stab you in the back, walk all over you, and take advantage. David doesn't want Absalom to die. I do, and he does. But David was he was such a good guy to Saul, and Saul was such a mean guy to him. And David doesn't deserve this, especially by his own son. Sometimes life is hard, you know, people, and I don't want to make it all, you know, it's the Christmas season, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right, and all this stuff. And I don't want to make it all like, but this week, someone will be cruel to you. You were nice to them. You said good things about them when they weren't around, and they're going to be not so good to you. So that ain't fair. Don't be bitter. Worship God. Let God sort it all out. That's really sage advice. That's all I got. All right. What else? You want to get down into the cesspool and wrestle with them? A bulldog can beat a skunk every time. It's just not worth it. And when you wrestle with a pig, you're really at a disadvantage. You're going to get very muddy, and the pig's going to enjoy it. Okay? Just a thought, okay? Bulldog, skunk, and pig theology. There you have it.